Welcome to The Business Mind. Join me, Mark Fechner, as I sit down with business leaders to discuss their real-world challenges and formulate forward-thinking, creative solutions. We focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. The Business Mind Show starts now. Good morning, everyone. I am Mark Fechner. Welcome to The Business Mind here on TransformationTalkRadio.com, the show that features our guest pursuit of excellence through the act and process of one-on-one coaching. If you would like to be part of our conversation, I would welcome your questions and comments. Just go to the TransformationTalkRadio.com website, and there's a little section where you can do that very thing. Or if you would prefer, go to our facebook.com/Transformation Talk Radio live feed. You can add comments there. So I would love to hear what you have to say. So as we know, the last 2.5 years has been a huge personal and professional disruption in our lives due to the pandemic. And this is in no small part also true in the hiring practices of companies. There has always been an expectation of what companies expect of their new hires when they are searching for new talent. But there's also now a change in what talent is expecting when they are looking for a new position to apply for. And therein lies the challenge that the workforce has been facing, the disconnect between what companies are expecting and what new talent and new hires are expecting. So today, my guest has a very unique perspective on this very topic. He has been a recruiter for the past 20 years for various different companies, recruiting engineering, HR, logistics, and sales personnel. In those various different companies. He's also the owner and founder of Outreach Staffing LLC. Please welcome my very good friend, Fred Thompson.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good. Good.
So, Fred, tell us a little bit about your company.
Yeah, so Outreach Staffing is something I created in 2018, and I'll backtrack a little bit, so kind of follow up on what you, the introduction, appreciate that. I've been recruiting for over 20 years, primarily in the manufacturing sector, companies that make food and beverage products, steel, aluminum products, you name it. So I've worked for several companies, as you mentioned, and up until from 2013 to 2018, I worked for a company called Pactiv, and Pactiv is a global food packaging manufacturer. Worked there started as a senior recruiter, handling most of the manufacturing engineering openings, plant manager, director of operations, a lot of leadership positions in that capacity. Then moved over during that time frame to work and do the diversity and outreach recruitment to make sure that we're in compliance as Pactiv as a government contractor. So oversaw the diversity and recruitment for over 49 locations in the U.S. Was part of a RIF, which a lot of people have unfortunately been a part of. It was not my first go around, so maybe it's a pattern for me. But nonetheless, I left Pactiv in May of 2018, and I'd always wanted to branch out on my own. I got into the business over 20 years ago, working for an agency. They don't use the term anymore, but a headhunter back in 2000. So I'd always somewhat thought about going into the business or starting my own agency. So I had an opportunity in May of 2018. I was at a point in my life where instead of like going back to corporate and trying to do more corporate work, let's take this opportunity to see what I can do to branch out by myself. So I created Outreach Staffing in May of 2018, picked up some contracts, really thought it was going to be primarily focused on the South suburbs. I think even you and I met a few years ago around a time frame with a goal of maybe bringing business out to the South suburbs, identifying that as an area where maybe our skills were lacking or there weren't people that did this kind of work. So that was the intent. You know, started off with a company out in the South suburbs, MyJack in 2018, helping them with some of their openings, but ultimately started to partner with some other people who also had done agency and contingency work, and it really just branched out. It, you know, got involved with some other companies, GATX, AZEC, global companies or companies that had more of a national presence, and was able to network with some great folks that I had met along my journey while I was working at Pactiv and also at Panduit, and they had gone out in HR and other capacities at other companies, and I've been able to network and grow this staffing agency over the last 4 years, where it's not really just primarily focusing on the South Suburban area. We've got contacts and contracts in Texas and Mississippi, obviously Illinois as well, but it's really branched out and grown even bigger than what I expected.
Congratulations. That's great. And just for everyone else's benefit, the South Suburbs Fred is talking about is the South Suburbs of Chicago, Illinois.
Of Chicago, so. Yes. Right. Yeah, we think inherently that everybody knows that South Suburbs
exactly.
of Chicago. We forget that there are other cities and locations that may have southern and northern suburbs as well. Yeah. So thanks for
the clarification. We're sometimes a little myopic in our own point of view.
Yes, we are.
So tell us a little bit about the challenge you would like to talk about today.
Yes, so you mentioned COVID obviously has changed the work environment completely since March of 2020. And one of the issues or one of the things I'm noticing is that I have a lot of clients that have what we call compression issues when it comes to salary. So post-COVID, as things have started to stabilize over the last year or so, the competition to find talent has grown immensely over the last, I'd say, year to 18 months. And with that being said, salary, which is not everything, but it's something, has become a lot more competitive for companies to bring people in. You know, maybe what they had benchmarked pre-COVID in terms of what their compensation expectations were going to be, they've expanded because now, with the ability to work remotely, it's opened up the playing field for employees and candidates just have more suitors. So one of the issues I've found is that there's always this balance when you work with a company where they're always looking at their own internal equity. When I say internal equity, I mean the people who currently work for them. So, for example, I've had clients in the manufacturing space. They may have an opening for a product design engineer or just an engineering opening, and they may already have a team of 8 folks in that role. But of those 8 folks that are there, 6 of them have been there for 10 to 15 years. And as a rule of thumb, typically, the trade-off is when someone stays with an organization for an extended period of time, and now an extended period of time in 2022, maybe 5 years, where, 10 years ago was 10 to 15 years. But when you've got someone who's been on your team for a while, they've often traded the stability for salary increases, right? So typically, even in good times, a company is probably looking at like a 3-4% merit increase for their employees. So when you look at that and someone's been somewhere for 5 to 6, 7 years, they've gotten a solid merit increase, but it's not the same as maybe folks who have took a chance and maybe have made a couple of moves over the last couple of years. Typically, when somebody makes a move, that increase is around about 10%. So when we've got internal equity, we're talking about the folks that have been on that team in that organization for an extended period of time. Now they've got an opening. Someone may be retiring or they're growing, business has stabilized over the last 6 months or so or a year, and they're looking to grow and add talent to their organization. When they do that, they're looking at people who not only are being suited by other companies because of COVID, you've got the ability to work. You're not just looking at your immediate geographical area. You've got the ability to do some work across the country, maybe even across the globe in some instances. But going back to my issue is that when we bring or we look for new talent, a lot of these hiring managers get what we would call sticker shock, right? They haven't, for whatever reason, especially when COVID, let's say, hit March of 2020 for about a year or so, they perhaps were not hiring. In some cases, unfortunately, may have been letting people go. But now that the ball or the hammer is actually in the candidate's hand now, they're asking for salaries that perhaps we're not, when I say we as a company, we have not benchmarked correctly. So trying to convince hiring managers that, listen, number one, candidates now have so much access to salary information, be it Salary Wizard, salary.com. They're so much more prepared to negotiate compensation when they come into the interview process, that they now can kind of have an idea of what their true market value is. So I think the issue for me is trying to convince managers that we have to be a little bit more aggressive, more assertive when it comes to compensation, and not just try to pigeonhole outside incoming talent against the internal equity they may have within their team or organization.
So just so I understand, so the challenge that you're having is in the conversation with the hiring companies.
Yes, my managers
And that challenge revolves around, you know, if you really want these people that you want to hire, you know, you're going to have to change some of your hiring perceptions
around compensation, right?
Around compensation
primarily. The other thing is also maybe a little bit more flexibility, since so many folks are working through with a hybrid model where they're perhaps on site 3 days and then off maybe two. But I think the thing right now is really that sticker shock, right? You're going to have to be a little bit more assertive when it comes to compensation. The other thing is, not only does the external talent that you're trying to bring into the organization have access to comp, your team does as well. So it might be not just an issue of you bringing in or being more aggressive to bring in new talent. You could also be creating flight risk by not right-sizing. What I mean by right-sizing is going and doing an equity estimate with your own internal talent, because these folks are getting contacted by people like me, other recruiters. So everyone now has that salary information to kind of give them a little bit more leverage when it comes to salary negotiation.
Okay. All right. This is going to be a good place to take a quick break.
Sure.
So for everyone else, you are listening to The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner. Remember, would love to hear your comments on Facebook, and TransformationTalkRadio.com website, or on our Facebook live feed, facebook.com/TransformationTalkRadio. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to go delve into how to help have a different conversation around the hiring practices. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are a brilliantly self-aware woman with a big heart and a cycle of dissatisfying relationships. Maybe you're drawn to a man who lights a fire in you but leaves you feeling amiss. Does that sound about right? My name is Love Coach Mariah, and I help women navigate the rough waters of rocky relationship from push and pull to peace of mind. Learn more at lovecoachmariya.com. The first call is on me.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
Not just talk. Conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What did you say?
Welcome back, everyone. I am Mark Fechner. This is The Business Mind. My guest today is Fred Thompson from Outreach Staffing LLC. And we're talking about the challenge that hiring companies and hiring personnel are having, this conversation between the two. Before we go on, Fred, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, you know, LinkedIn is probably, I'm on it all the time. So that's probably the best way to reach out to me. I'm, you know, constantly responding and following folks there. I also, Outreach Staffing, my email address is reachstaff312@gmail.com. That's a way to reach out to me as well. But those would be the two best ways, but then LinkedIn is probably the best methodology.
So find Fred on LinkedIn and make a connection there. That's always the best way of doing it. So let's talk a little bit about this challenge. So you mentioned before the break, a couple of things. One is the compression issue that people have far more access to how to be competitive within the job market. And also, and so that kind of creates the sticker shock for hiring companies.
Yeah.
You know, what all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. What I thought was going to be a $100,000 job is now $125,000. And we don't, you know, the budget isn't quite there for that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But you also mentioned the internal difficulties, you know, that people who work in these companies have access to the exact same information as people who are hiring,
right,
or who want to be hired, I should say. And so which one of those challenges are would you like to talk about more? Which one is more important to you?
Yeah, I think it's more of the sticker shock that the hiring managers are somewhat surprised. Perhaps for whatever reason, as we mentioned about COVID, they may not have hired anyone over the last 2 years or so. Now that business has stabilized, they're growing. Perhaps they've had some retirements within their team. So now when they say, well, hey, I hired Bill 10 years ago and he had 18 years worth of experience and, you know, we only paid him $85,000. Why am I looking at somebody now at almost $100,000? You know, so the price you paid yesterday is not always a price that you pay today. It's almost the equivalent of when somebody buys a house, right? What you paid for your house 5 years ago, hopefully, it's not the same that somebody who's going to move across the street or the same block, right? And it's, so that kind of anecdotal thought process that maybe opened them up to having to look at it through a different lens. The other thing is just the level of competition that's out there now. Again, going back to COVID, before COVID, if you lived in the south suburbs of Chicago, you pretty much thought that you were going to be working or you're trying to find something that was going to be close. I only want to go 45 or 50 minutes away at the most. Now, post-COVID, you know, I never thought about working in Naperville because I didn't want to go there 5 days a week. But now, they're giving me an opportunity to maybe do it hybrid where I'm only going into the office 2 days a week. Or they give me an opportunity where you may have a childcare situation where I'm able to drop my kids off and then get to work at a later date. So the playing field now for companies is so much wider than it was pre-COVID due, again, to the ability to work remotely or at least partially remotely. That's been an issue. But really, the you know, the compensation has really shocked a lot of the hiring managers. On top of that, and this is more anecdotal, we're not seeing as many technical degree people coming out, as many, you know, people in engineering and IT. So there's a limit of folks that these companies can really pull from, which even amplifies there is a wage or a wage war to attract and also to retain talent. But I really want to focus on that sticker shock to get the hiring managers to open up how they perceive compensation.
So when you're approaching a company, or they've actually probably more accurately, they've hired you to say, hey, listen, we need to fill this position. When you have that conversation saying, hey, listen, you're looking at a 15% increase in your, you know, in what you can have to be paying this person. What is that conversation like with those people?
Yeah, so you always want to ask, first of all, what is the expected salary range for this role, right? And not to get too deep in terms of the inner workings of finance or salary compensation within the company. Typically, there's a pretty significant range. I'll just use numbers. It could be anywhere from 80 to, let's say, 120, but most companies want to stay at the midpoint of 3.8. So that's right around 90 or maybe 100K with what they're looking to bring somebody in at. So you have those conversations, say, okay, well, what is the range for the role? But then you also want to ask, well, ideally, where are you comfortable bringing someone in at? Most companies don't want to bring someone in at the top of the range because they're limited in terms of how much of an increase they can get on an annual basis. So again, going back, it's usually number like 120. If that's the absolute max, it's rare that they want to bring somebody in at like 115. Because if you do that, going back to traditionally, you're giving someone, even if they're a great employee, a 3-4% increase, they're up against that max pretty quickly within a year or two. So that's why one of the reasons they want to stay at the midpoint or slightly above is there. So you ask them, is there any flexibility within that range? Oftentimes you get, well, they have to be, and they use this term often, a rock star in order for me to go above and beyond that range. And I know, Mark, you're a rock star, but there are a few rock stars out here that, and I don't know who determines who a rock star is when it comes to somebody who's an engineer, very talented folks. So you want to kind of level set that expectation that most candidates are not going to have even 90% of everything you're looking for. There may be 80% with room for growth, because most people, if they've got everything that you're looking for, they're going to be kind of bored with the job, right? You want them to be incentivized to come into a place, not just perform and be compensated, but also learn and grow as well. Right. So you're trying to leverage what their salary expectations are. And then you ask them, well, hey, what's the absolute max that we can go? Then often you want to ask them, well, if you don't mind me asking, what's the internal team look like? Like, where have you traditionally had people? When's the last time you hired someone? When you hired this person the last 2 years or so, were they at this benchmark? Were they at the 50th percentile of the salary range? Were they at the 3/8 or the 75th percentile? So you want to kind of have some conversations around compensation so they're at least comfortable in knowing that they may have to go a little bit above, some cases maybe a lot above, what their compensation or their budget compensation is.
It when you mentioned, you know, they have to be a rock star, you know, my question becomes, well, what's your standard of a rock star? You know, what are those rubrics and what does that look like? Because, like you said, you know, I consider myself a rock star, but, you know,
right.
That doesn't mean diddly to the guy next to me.
Yeah. Right.
So when you start, and I know you, and I know you have fascinating statistics involved in all of this. When you're in that conversation and you're trying mm-hmm. to, you know, explain to the hiring manager who may not have hired anyone in the last 3 years because right. of, you know, the various different things that have gone on in our economy. Mm-hmm. How are you approaching that conversation with that, for lack of a better phrase, maybe out of date hiring manager?
So some of it is, you know, data, right? I mean, there are some numbers that you put in terms of how wages have increased. Also the great resignation, how a lot of people are leaving because of wages. Sometimes you also want to personalize it, right? So oftentimes when you're talking to a hiring manager, he or she has been approached by someone like myself. So that kind of anecdotal story lets them know that, hey, you know what? Now that you mention it, I have been seeing an increase of how many people have reached out to me via LinkedIn, who have maybe reached out to me via email to find out if I knew of someone or perhaps if I'm interested in making a move myself. So you do want to kind of personalize it, because that lets them know that, yeah, you're right, there is a shortage of folks within this engineering, in electrical engineering, with thermodynamics. I am getting contacted by folks. So it gives you a little bit more credibility to let them know that how sparse the job market is in terms of attracting talent. So to try to use that anecdotal story, put it on them, they've got a feeling of how tight the job market is. You've got some folks that may have been at a company, say, hey, I'm not even actively looking. I've been here for 15, 20 years. I haven't put open to work or anything like that on my LinkedIn profile. I'm getting 3 or 4 calls a week. Well, if you're getting 3 or 4 calls a week and you're not actively looking, imagine what somebody who is actively looking, how many calls they may be getting, like how many people are reaching out to them to give them an idea of just how competitive this job market is right now.
Yeah. So when you're in that conversation with the hiring manager and you're explaining to them the competitiveness, what is it, what can you be doing differently? And I like the idea. Let me backtrack here a little bit. I like the idea of what you're saying about making a personal connection, because that, as we all know, that's really the best way of approaching really anyone, is how you can make that personal connection. So how do you go about taking it out of the, oh my God, I got to hire someone, to that personal touch? That, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, I think one of the things, and now that you mentioned, I could do better, is also the return on investment. And when I say return on investment, a lot in engineering is about downtime, right? Like if you don't have someone in this capacity, what does that do for the morale within your own team? All right, there's one thing for someone to not be able to fill a position maybe for 30 to 60 days, but now if we want to not go 10K more, what does that do in terms of what we're not able to do from a business perspective? Mm-hmm. The ability not to get product out, the ability that, or the inability to get a production line up because we've bartered so much about $5,000 to $10,000 and not bringing in the right talent to get the, to actually function. So that is something that perhaps I can do a better job of, because again, I'm dealing with a lot of engineers, not that they're not the most exciting people to deal with, but numbers speak to them, right? So the fact that they're able to say, you know what, now you think about it, at what price point does it make sense for me to not want to go 10K more to attract talent, and I'm not getting production done, I'm not getting the product out, I'm not able to get my capital equipment in. Also, what is it doing for morale? Because as we mentioned, this hybrid or even work-life balance has become such a bigger part of our lives as opposed to maybe 20 years ago. The fact that now my team is short one person, am I frustrating two or three other folks because we're not able to get stuff done? So there's also the morale, the ROI on not being able to get business and production out. Those are probably more personalized things that I could do to resonate with a hiring manager to look back at compensation.
That's an interesting idea, because one of the things that when I talk with people and I talk about, you know, communication and how you communicate with people, you want to know who you're communicating to. There are those people that are the visionaries. They love seeing what's the big picture and how are we going to go, and you know, here's how we're going to do it. And then there are those that are the data-driven individuals. I think you're absolutely right. Engineers are going to be more data-driven just because of the nature of their work, and that's the way they think, and that's the way they've been trained to think. What happens when you're not dealing with an engineer? How does that conversation then change for you?
It's somewhat the same. Let's say like in human resources, right? We don't just do, when I say we, outreach staffing, people I partner with, engineers not our only focus, but when I'm dealing with people in finance or dealing with perhaps a cost accountant who's still in a plan, but working from a financial perspective, there is still that sticker shock, right? And then the other thing, now that you mentioned it, there's also, you know, as we become more of an individual in terms of workers, there are still those folks that really toe the company line, right? That they feel as if they're not working on the best or for the best of the company, which we're all doing to a point, but that $5,000 to $10,000 to them is still the company's money. Am I doing really the best for the company by bringing in someone who may put our internal equity off kilter? The pushback to them again is going back to, okay, well, you may have a struggle a little bit, or you may be pushing the envelope a bit from a compensation standpoint, but it still goes back to the work that's not being done. You talk to someone in HR who may, he or she may have three or four plants that they oversee, and each plant has a specific person in HR. if you don't have somebody in that plant, and morale really for HR is almost everything, right? If you don't have someone at that location from an HR perspective for employees to be able to go to, if they've got questions or go, if they've got issues, someone who's just got an ear to the ground as to what's happening within a plant, that's a huge loss on ROI, because you're not finding out, you're not getting a pulse of your organization because you don't have the HR folks in place. So again, with the HR people, it's probably a little bit more empathetic that if you don't have somebody in place, whereas the engineers, yeah, it's empathetic because they don't want someone to quit because they're frustrated. They're probably going to respond a little bit more to the data. I can't get my product out. I may have quality issues, safety issues, which is also part of HR. But in the HR capacity, just someone who can be that sounding board at a plant or within an office, that's very important to them.
Right. So as you start going forward and you start, you know, helping, because in essence, you're in the position of wanting to help your clients.
Of course, right.
You know, to hire the people you need to hire. The other thing that sort of has come to my mind as well is that for companies, this can be a huge opportunity. If and I want to touch on this a little bit, in that they are not limited, like we talked about. You know, if we live in Chicago, we live in the South Side, and we, you know, Fred has worked in the South Suburbs of Chicago. Companies are not limited to who is within a 45-minute drive of their their plant or their offices. They have the ability to now network and hire if they have the right tools in place from across the country.
Right.
So how can you help them understand that it's not a limitation, it's actually an opportunity to expand where they can hire from?
And that's something I struggle with, right? Trying to convince the internal leadership that you're not limited to your geography in terms of attracting talent. And that's a good point. One of the things I've often struggled with in engineering, manufacturing, a lot of plants are not always in what we would call global, or I would say geographic hotbeds, right? They're not always in a manufacturing plant, maybe in Iowa. They're not always in like Chicago, Philadelphia,
right.
You know, New York or Los Angeles, where you do have more people that may have a certain skill set. And those folks, for whatever reason, I think Iowa is a great place to visit. Now, but for whatever reason, they may not have the ability to attract people to certain locations. A lot of it could be due to family situations and not ready to move and just set up roots and wherever. But now you've got the ability to say, hey, are you able to, maybe as a project manager, come on site 1 week out of the month here, but still be able to help and support us remotely? So maybe me helping these hiring managers and also companies expand their horizons in terms of how can we attract more people that may not be within a 30 to 40 mile vicinity or radius where our plant is located. And that you know, it's a good point. I mean, try to help them expand and think outside of the box that we can attract people, but we got to be a little bit more flexible. Compensation-wise, and also from the hybrid model, to get folks that maybe can help us on site once or twice a month, that expands our candidate pool.
Because you shared with me that the three things that new hires are typically looking for are compensation, huge, flexibility in, you know, the work-life balance, how they can work virtually as opposed to having to be in an office. And then the third thing is advancement.
Right. Yeah. Growth is huge.
You know, growth is huge. It's huge. So how could you go about explaining to a company and use not just the compensation aspect, but that your hires, and I know you're data driven as well, and you know these statistics, but how you can use that information to help a company expand the way they're looking at their hiring practices?
No, that's a good point. So I think going back to the third one, you said that people are looking for growth, right?
Yes.
That ability that you can grow within a company without having to relocate, right? So a lot of these manufacturing, and I go on manufacturing a lot, that's what I do, but I would say almost in any capacity, you know, oftentimes people think of traditionally when someone wanted to grow within the company that may have required relocation, which you bring up another good point, you could minimize your relocation expenses. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. I mean, so traditionally somebody moved to Pennsylvania and they turned that plant around in 18 months, they picked up and they moved to Kansas, stayed there for 2 years, and then the track took them to Texas. So now obviously there's a cost. If you're going to relocate someone, help them with purchasing a home, help them with, you know, selling and closing. Now we've gotten to the point where this person, this individual, could still grow within the company, help support different locations without the company incurring that relocation expense. So just how is the advantage of the hybrid model not just for the employee, how is it also an economic advantage for the company?
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
The employee has already bought in. You know, we right. as, you know, the people who are looking for jobs, they've already bought into this whole pandemic
hybrid model,
hybrid model, sometimes just out of plain necessity. You know, they had to, otherwise, you know, they wouldn't have any income and wouldn't have put food on the table, stuff like that. Companies have been in a different position. It's been a challenge for them as well, but not to the extent of shutting down everything that they're doing.
Correct.
You know, at least not in the fields that you're that you work within.
Primarily work in, yeah.
So what does that conversation start to look like when you approach a company and saying, hey, listen, look at the opportunities here? What does that conversation look like?
Well, I mean, I think you've opened my eyes to just the fact that the company can pivot and use it again more to their benefit. So it does look like, hey, you're looking for someone who wants to grow. You're looking for someone who's got high potential. He or she, for whatever reason, may not be as apt to wanting to pick up and move given this post-pandemic workplace. But have we really thought about, they don't have to, right? In order for them to grow, they can still support not just maybe your initial location, like you got an opening in, you know, I hate to bang on Kansas, again, say Kansas, you got that one opening there. Again, Kansas is a great place. Go Jayhawks. But you got this one location, but now this person has a unique skill set. Let's say he or she is a safety coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. Every plant that you have, safety is going to be key. Are you now able to take this person's expertise and he or she can support multiple locations? So what's the trade-off? What's the return on investment that if we get over the sticker shock, right? If we're able to get outside the box and maybe say, you know what, let's go at maybe 10 or 15K more than what we thought, but now we're able to maximize this person's skill set across the Midwest, you know, across the East Coast. When needed, this person can mentor and manage those folks who are physically at that plant in that location. Are we really being creative and thinking about how we can leverage this hybrid model for this person to expand and impact more than just one location?
Yeah. And certainly the fact that we're on this call and, you know, we're in two different locations and we're doing this over the internet and stuff like that, you know, technology out of necessity has made a lot of advancements over the last 2 years. So what's the sticking point for companies to embrace this new technological advancements that we have now at our disposals?
So I think it may really be more of an impetus for people like myself to bring in that thought process about how are you leveraging post-COVID work-life balance or accessibility? How are you leveraging this and saying, hey, how can we maximize this person's skill set and he or she can cascade that across our organization? I think there's certain fields, I mean, obviously sales, you still want to get in front of people, but I mean, you can at least do the initial intro via some form of social media. HR, to an extent, can still somewhat be cascaded through Zoom or some type of social media outlet. I think for engineers, right, because such a tangible product, they make things. They make this bottle. They want to see you in the plant. They want to see how it produces. They want to see the line go and everything. But as we get more into like project management, key performance indicators to say how are things happening, some of that work can be done remotely. So I think it's more upon more for people like myself in recruitment and HR to get these engineers to think, hey, Bill, have you ever thought about what you could do better when you're at home at 11 o'clock at night? I'm sure you got some great idea about how we can improve a process. Mm-hmm. Well, let's think about it. Would you be able to cascade that not just to your division, say, hey, I can't wait till I get back tomorrow. I'm going to talk about this. What if you're able to record some of your thoughts that evening, some of the safety things that I noticed that we should do that we can do better, cascade that information across or use a platform where you can cascade that to other plants, other offices. So trying to leverage when they come up with something, how can they use that? How can they use this model and impact not just one location, but perhaps a whole region? It could be globally, right? Yeah. How can you impact more people with this model? And if we do that, we find a high potential person that we really not want to bring he or she in because we're off $10,000. Just think about the impact that this person could have. And we're bartering over 10K where the impact that he or she's going to have is so much more.
So it sounds like this is more of a conversation where you're talking about the impact that a potential hire has on a company and not just the liability that the company now has because, oh my God, we got to come up with X number of dollars for a salary.
Right. Yeah. Your X amount of dollars, you know, the water cooler conversation, if they find out that we brought this person in at more than 20K, one of the benefits, or 20K more than what they're at internally, one of the benefits of doing Zoom, you don't have a water cooler, so they're not going to talk. They won't meet each other with water cooler, right? So they won't do that. So that eliminates that issue. But no, but I think to your point, getting them to think about how it can be more impactful for the company, for a bottom line. And you, so you're still the manager that is managing the company's money correctly, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just giving out, you know, you get a bonus, you get a bonus, you get a bonus. You're not doing that. You are still managing the company's money correctly, and you're using it, bringing in the right skill set, the right talent to impact the company, not maybe just at your location, but across the organization.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We're going to take another quick break. Before we do, tell people how they can get a hold of you again.
Yeah, sure. LinkedIn is probably the best way, but if not, my email address is reachstaff312@gmail.com. That's reachstaff312@gmail.com.
All righty. So thank you very much. Remember, everyone, this is The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner. We're going to take a quick break. And when we do, Fred is going to share with us what he's going to take away from today's conversation. If you have any insights or questions that you would like to share, I would love to hear them. Please go to transformationtalkradio.com. There's a little comment section there. Or on our Facebook live feed, facebook.com/transformationtalkradio. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Fred's going to share with what he's going to take away from today's session. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Damayanti, where you can find a special gift for that special person. Or perhaps that special person is you. Our collections include messages in sacred Sanskrit of love, fearlessness, divine energy, and strength, made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti is the place to find a soul message unique to you, designed for your life journey. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. And yes, our office is open and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things aren't calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun, and it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection Coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community. Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
Welcome back, everyone. This is The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner. So, Fred, what is it that you're going to take away from today's session?
Well, I think going into this, I was more focused on it from compensation candidate experience, like how am I going to convince the company, the business, mm-hmm. the hiring manager to think outside of the box and just be more assertive and more creative in terms of compensation or how they can attract people and not have that sticker shock. I think the enlightenment that we've gotten to about the return on investment for the company, right? Like, what is the benefit? What is the sale for the company? And this ability to attract and grow talent and not just impact your specific location, to be able to impact across the board, different locations. I think that's really been eye-opening, not to make it just so much data-driven. Like, originally I'm going into it thinking, hey, statistics are showing that people are getting 10 to 15% increases every time they make a move, or that retention is helped by your ability to bring in newer talent and then right-size your own internal equity. That's important, right? That data, those data points are still important, but to be able to use this post-COVID world to grow people, to impact folks across the organization, and still as the hiring manager or still as a company being responsible for the company's money. Because again, you're able to leverage bringing in someone at maybe 10% more than what you originally thought, but the impact that he or she can take or make throughout the organization, it's well worth it. So to be able to kind of spin it and have them think about how far reaching that expanded mindset can be, mm-hmm. That's been new to me. I had not thought about it from that concept.
Cool. Good. I'm glad.
Thank you, Mark.
Any other thoughts that you want to share?
Now, the other thing is really that it's very important for people to really know how to negotiate. You know, I am always helping companies out, but I'm also so pro-candidate. So if folks want to reach out to me about questions about compensation, I know diversity is a huge thing in terms of pay equity. Mm-hmm. Within this country, the fact that now certain demographics historically were not equal in terms of pay, that you got access to this information. There's certain states where the salary compensation has to be put on the job posting. So there's no longer this rule of thumb that, well, we can only give you a 10% increase. That's the company standard. You now have that ability in a lot of states to find out how much a company pays. So, I mean, I think that's been a great opportunity for some right sizing in terms of pay equity and you know, eliminating certain biases when it comes to compensation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, good. I'm glad. One last time, how can people get a hold of you?
LinkedIn is always the best method. If not, please reach out to me at reachstaffing312@gmail.com.
Okay, great. I want to add my little bit here. If you would like to contact me about working with you or your business, I can be reached at mark@markfechner.com, or you can go to my website, markfechner.com. There is a link on the homepage to schedule a 30-minute conversation. If you would like to work with me, or if you'd like to be a guest on my show, I am actively looking for guests to sit and do and be on this program and experience coaching live in front of everyone else. It's not as painful as it sounds. Please feel free to do that. Thank you, Fred, for being here. For your openness in sharing not only the challenge, but also the process and coming up with some brand new ideas. Yes. And I appreciate you sharing that with all of us. Our next guest is going to be, she is a client of mine. She is a personal trainer. Her name is Kirsten Anderson of Spark Synergy Fitness. We have been working together for several, this past year. Don't quite know yet what we're going to talk about, but it's a different perspective, being, in the personal training, arena. If you would like to join and hear us, you know, on that program, the Business Mind airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. Central. That's 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Thank you again, Fred. And so until next time, thank you for listening to The Business Mind on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mark Fechner, where we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I hope you find the answers within you. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Sometimes all you need is a change in perception. A certified coach will listen to your challenge, ask you intuitive, open-ended questions, help you find fresh perspectives, and then hold you accountable to reach your goals. Coaching is an investment in yourself that can create paths to greater success. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us and engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Take the steps that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Visit MyResilienceCoach.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Everyday living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
I'm Mark Fechner, and at the Business Mind Show, we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month on transformationtalkradio.com.
You are a brilliantly self-aware woman with a big heart and a cycle of dissatisfying relationships. Maybe you're drawn to a man who lights a fire in you but leaves you feeling amiss. Does that sound about right? My name is Love Coach Mariah, and I help women navigate the rough waters of rocky relationship from push and pull to peace of mind. Learn more at lovecoachmariya.com. The first call is on me.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Too many people go too long forgetting their true soul purpose. Join me, Gina Gale Gray, every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific in Savvy Solutions. Take the journey back to me with a Freedom Coach and Oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find your soul oceans now in my show. Learn how you can release the wall around your heart and follow your emotional being back to connection and compassion. Visit anywheremindbodysoul.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you find that your world is filled with chaos that's always trying to bring you down? What if I told you that your goal should not be to get rid of that chaos, but to harness it and become your higher self with it? I'm Gina Libido, your transformational coach, and I'm here to guide you on your ascension journey and soul awakening. Learn to anchor cosmic Christ light during my one-on-one and group sessions. To find out more, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org, and be in body, in power, and in soul.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the nine freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
There's a beautiful story of Princess Damayanti and King Nala. It was traditional that a princess chose whom she wanted.